and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Ayatollah Khamenei is warning of irreparable damage and an all-out regional war if the U.S. intervenes in this six-day-old Israel-Iran conflict. The BBC Sebastian Usher says the fighting is intensifying.
The Israeli military said 20 armed sites in Tehran had been hit. There was another evacuation order for another district in Iran.
President Trump expected to sign an executive order giving TikTok's Chinese owner another 3 months to divest. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
There hasn't been a winning bid for TikTok since the pressure campaign began. And in the meanwhile, this app has become one of the most influential social networks on the planet.
It'll be ByteDance's third reprieve. One of New York City's Democratic mayoral candidates has been freed after he was handcuffed by federal agents while he tried to escort a migrant from immigration proceedings.
I did not come today expecting to get arrested.
That's Brad Lander, CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's highest court rules in a multi-year battle. Joanne Krulatz reports.
A unanimous Wisconsin Supreme Court has sided with the Democratic State Attorney General in a long-running battle over a law passed by Republicans who wanted to weaken the office in a lame duck legislative session more than 6 years ago. The court ruled unanimously that it's unconstitutional to require the Attorney General to get a permission from a Republican-controlled legislative committee to settle certain civil lawsuits. The court said the law is a separation of powers violation. The Republican-controlled legislature and outgoing GOP Governor Scott Walker weakened executive powers just weeks before Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call took office.
Wisconsin Rapids is hosting a statewide business incubation conference. Mayor Matt Zacher says the goal of the conference is to identify new ways to start businesses in Wisconsin and to share ideas about what communities can do to incubate small businesses. He wants to make sure that regulatory hurdles aren't discouraging businesses from opening. The Connecting Entrepreneurials Community Conference runs through today. Independence Day plans are announced in Wisconsin Rapids. On Friday, July 4th, fireworks will be launched from the Wisconsin River in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. Prior to the display, the Mill Creek Cow Tippers will perform from 6 to 9 p.m. on 2nd Street between Grand Avenue and Jackson Street bridges. The Wisconsin Rapids City Band will perform outside of the Centralia Center starting at 7:30 p.m. The national anthem will be performed by Alexis Walton before the fireworks show begins around 9:30. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Cubs and the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of a three-game series between the Cubs and the Brewers tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago winning last night, 5-3. Milwaukee's Chad Patrick lasted five innings before turning it over to the bullpen. Pat Murphy.
I thought Chad Patrick did a nice job. He had a little struggle in the fifth there, third time around. I thought Mears and Rob Z, at least for the first inning, and Anderson were really good. So a lot of positives from it. You know, a lot of good things tonight. So I'll stick with that right now.
NBA Finals, the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with a strained calf muscle. No word if he'll play when the Pacers host the Thunder tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers' new president, Ed Policy, on the Lions, Vikings, and Packers this season.
You know, it's pretty exciting because I don't think the entire NFL has ever been more competitive than it is right now. And I think our division is not only the most competitive division in football right now, but maybe in the history of the NFL.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers. Even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows of the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, welcome back. It is 7 o'clock. Well, 7:06 anyway. We're in the 7 o'clock hour of our program, These Mornings, powered by Up North News. Nice to have you along. We've got Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot will be up here in just a bit. And it's Wednesday, so we're going to be doing our homeroom segment coming up in our next half hour. We'll be talking to one school district finance director about the ongoing gap in special education reimbursement and how the legislature treats public schools compared to how it treats voucher schools. Spoiler alert, public schools once again coming out on the short end of the stick on that one, so stick around for that in just a bit. But first we've got to talk about the weather, where an hour ago I read you the state forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and it said expect rain at the start of the day in the southeastern half of Wisconsin. And I'm calling up the radar right now, and it shows that much of the southeastern half of Wisconsin is getting rain this morning. So 1 point for Hufflepuff. Brittany Merlot gets that one right. It's raining in much of southeastern Wisconsin today. Ms. Merlot, good morning. How are you?
It sure is. Good morning, everyone. A little bit cooler today than what we felt yesterday. We hit 90 degrees down south. Kenosha,
really?
Racine. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Scorching out there already. Mid-80s in Madison. And now today, highs are going to be mostly in the 70s. Low 70s to upper 70s, depending where you are. Right now, though, this morning, 50 degrees up north, 70 down south. We're seeing patchy fog far north as well. And then, of course, the overcast, cloudy skies, that rain rolling in southeast parts of the state. We're actually looking at a small storm headed towards Delavan and towards Lake Geneva area. Nothing is severe warned. There is a small chance that later this afternoon, some of these could become stronger, maybe severe. If they are severe, hail and high winds would be the risks with them. Otherwise, really just looking at some heavy downpours, especially south and especially east. Yes, Milwaukee area down to about Lake Geneva, even into Janesville, you could see 1 to possibly 2 inches of total rainfall today. So a bit of a soaker for you. No sunshine, unfortunately. Keep an eye out for, of course, some flash flooding. Streams are going to be rising down there as well. And then up north, what's going to be happening is not much. Maybe a scattered shower, maybe a rumble of thunder on occasion. Much more likely as we go into the afternoon and evening. And again, none of those really look strong to severe. But as we go through tomorrow, those temperatures are going to be starting to rise again. We've got the potential for strong to severe storms tomorrow evening. Then again on Friday, and then that heat and humidity is going to be building. And Pat, heat index, it's going to be feeling like 100 degrees as we go into Saturday and Sunday statewide.
Steamy, sultry, sticky, sauna-like out there. All right, well,
yes.
We consider ourselves prepared here. And you know what you need to do when it gets to be like that? You need to drink your water. You know who knows mm-hmm. this? Robin Tigerton. He says it's cloudy and 65. Yesterday, he had to mow 6 yards in Tigerton, trying to get ahead in the mowing game before the hot weather comes this weekend. He says, I do drink plenty of water and Gatorade. When I'm mowing, I still hear Greg in my head, drink your water. So Greg has a way of getting in your head that way about drinking your water. He mentions his cousin Jody Griepentrog passing away recently, who was an awesome cook at Matthew's Supper Club in Clintonville and made spaghetti for his birthday. And he goes on to say, Brittany is a meteorologist genius.
Thank you.
We can fact check that. That's 100% true. And Tony giving us a gross emoji face for the gross weather that might be coming up this weekend. But, you know, again, Gatorade, water, all those things that Parker likes. Not coffee.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. You know, yes, no sugary drinks. And I know it's sad to say, but avoid the alcohol this weekend. It's going to dehydrate you.
All things in moderation, right, Brittany?
Yes, I know. Moderation, absolutely.
Yes. I mean, it's only Wednesday. I'm getting ahead of myself. But, I mean, when you know that there's going to be such a hot weekend coming, do you have your own plans, your own defense mechanisms, or do you just stay inside in the air conditioning?
I try to hydrate right now. Actually, I went out to the store yesterday and I got those electrolyte packed crazy drinks where
it's what plants crave. Hydration. Yes. Get your Rondo. Okay.
I'll be drinking some of those. And then, of course, trying to stay cool as we go through this weekend. I'm not going to go crazy doing a lot of biking and stuff that I usually do because that heat exhaustion, it snuck up on me before. I have been close to heat stroke. Yes. So personally, I know.
Yeah, you don't want to be working that hard. And apparently the Gatorade H2O thing was a water boy reference, according to Tony.
Yes.
I guess I'll have to watch that movie sometime. So Waterboy hasn't made the cut yet, but maybe someday. Okay. Thank you, Brittany. Talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
Coming up today on Matt and Air on Air, 9:30 this morning, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane and Greg. And then, of course, at 10:50, stick around for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. On the Maggie Dawn Show at 4:30 this afternoon, Madison Mayer Satya Rhodes Conway will be joining Maggie Dawn. And, of course, you can catch Nightlight with Pete Schwabba at 6. And then there's always that Todd Alba Show. You will hear him weekdays from 2 to 4. And you often hear him at 7:50 on Wednesdays here. We've actually punted him. We've punted him over to Thursdays at 7:50. We're going to have Jimmy Koska on at 7:50 today for stations that are following us. You might be in a local news break. If that's the case, you can catch us later on demand by podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple. Tony asks on YouTube, what? Tony, you need to know I am the worst at keeping up with some movies. You have no idea how many years and years it took me to watch Forrest Gump or Step Brothers or The Sandlot, all these movies that eventually my daughters would shame me into watching so I would get some of the movie references. So apparently Waterboy is going to have to go on that one. Let's talk a little sports at 7:13. First off, the NHL Stanley Cup, it's done. Florida won it. Yay. In baseball, the Cubs beat the Brewers 5-3. So the Cubs are now 6.5 games up on the second-place Brewers. Isaac Collins did have a two-run homer for Milwaukee. And Jake Mazurowski will make his second major league pitching start for the Brewers coming up tonight against the Cubs. Coverage of the pregame begins at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. So tune in there. And I believe... I was looking at the WIA postseason calendar here, and we are a day away yet from the baseball and girls soccer championships. The baseball championships for high school will be at the Fox City Stadium in Grand Chute, and the girls soccer championships will be played in Milwaukee. So there's a little check on sports for you. Well, we got rid of the terrorists, right? I mean, all this deportation that's going on out there, we've gotten rid of all the terrorists. I guess because we're also at the point where a teacher's aide in the Milwaukee area has done that self-deportation thing. Because again, it's teachers' aides, the people who are helping our children, that are apparently the big risk, to our crime, to our health, to the life of the country. I don't know, but once again, we've got Trump's mass deportation plan that is leading people to, you know, basically fear for their livelihoods, and now are leaving the country with their American-born children. In this case, in Milwaukee, we're talking about teacher's aide Yesenia Rano and her 10-year-old daughters. It will be the first flight ever for her twins to a country they've never seen before. They were born in Milwaukee. They are U.S. citizens. And for Ruana, who works in the Milwaukee Public Schools, it's the end of a rich life built over 14 years in Wisconsin, according to an article written by Sophie Carson in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She says, I have a tornado inside of her, standing with friends, colleagues, supporters. Said she was grateful for the support and hoped that she could one day return to the U.S. She crossed the border without authorization in 2011. She'd been living with an order for deportation, but until now there'd not been any effort to take action against her or others like her. She kept regular appointments with Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. But she's now a local symbol of the Trump administration's deportation net, sweeping up people like her who have committed no crimes, have U.S. citizen children, and have been working legally in in-demand fields. And that's where I want to take it next year, because we also have seen Trump flip-flop on workplace raids depending on where they are. Last week he said he was going to leave alone farms and the hospitality services, but then days later reversed himself yet again and said there must be these mass deportations. And I think back to the Republican National Convention last year in what is one of the lowest points in this country's history, was to see thousands of people in that arena holding up signs that said mass deportations now. It was one of the saddest moments in American history that in a country built by immigrants, many of whom did not follow any kind of processes like we have now. They simply came for that better life and made that better life. And they put up with all of the prejudice, discrimination, bias, abuse, bad publicity year after year. And to see it culminate this way in this manner is just such a sad low point, not just for American history, but for the American economy. I saw a great little spoof on social media yesterday featuring four or five older white guys wearing their Trump caps, but shirtless, because they were out picking crops in a field for a few minutes. And then they said, this is tough. We got to bring them back. And then you see them trying to clean, a hotel room, and they can't. They're tired. And like, we got to bring them back. All these people waving these mass deportation signs whose lives would be so much poorer, but for the clothes that they wear that are made by migrants, for the services that they enjoy that were made by migrants. And they can all day long come back and go, well, she knew she was breaking the rules. We also know she broke the rules of a system that's broken, and she would like to follow the rules of a system that works. And the system would work if a certain class of politicians would get off their collective butts and once again embrace the notion that we need immigrants more than ever in this country, or this economy is going to go south in a hurry. The baby boomers and their red caps, they are leaving this mortal coil at a rapid rate, and they are not being replaced in the workforce. And to say, well, they just didn't follow the rules, while you don't want to update the rules, says a lot more about what your real motivations are. Those folks waving those mass deportation signs one day and pretending to go to church the next day. We need solutions in this country. We don't need mass deportations. It's expensive. It's wasteful of our tax dollars. And it's not targeting the people that are being vilified the most, the ones who aren't citizens but are committing crimes, which is a fraction, a tiny fraction of the immigrant population. But they're easy to villainize. They're easy to vilify, put in political ads with their dark skin and their long rap sheets, compared to all the many, many, many people who come here, make a better life for themselves, escape gang violence, escape human trafficking, until a bunch of white guys come along with their mass deportation signs and policies and say, this country's for Americans, said these people who weren't Native Americans in any way, shape, or form. So they're getting what they want. A good teacher's aide is self-deporting with her American daughters. And we can only hope she eventually makes her way back to this country to do good. Unlike some other people who we'd be all better off if they could somehow be deported right out of any seats of power in our government. Some of you are getting a local update next, and then we'll have our homeroom segment talking about special education funding in about 15 minutes. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter, there's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources change, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this June 17th, 2025, have your host James J. Mill up here. Welcoming into the studio, our good friend, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you with us, Terry. How you doing?
Great. It's great to be here.
We got a lot of things to get to today, but before we get ahead of ourselves, I want to rewind a little bit with you. We've wrapped up a couple of things with the United Way. The big diaper drive that was going on from Mother's Day to Father's Day wrapped up. How did that go?
Yeah, it went very well. Our office is literally piled full of diapers right now, and I really can't tell you a quantity, because we kind of had to push pause. We are also, today we wrapped up our Great Book Giveaway, so that is, you know, was a Reading in the Park series. Wrapped up today at the Vesper Library. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to having numbers on that. Looking forward to get someone counting diapers. And we also, you know, going on right now as we speak, is the construction for United We Can. So, you know, I don't have, like I said, I don't have a lot of data to share with you about those events, but I will tell you, Great Book Giveaway, all of the locations were well attended. So that is great. You know, getting books in the hands of kids is a huge priority for us. And I'm actually participating today, tomorrow, and Thursday in a conference put on by the Dollywood Foundation for Imagination Library. So it's the 30th year of Imagination Library, which is, you know, a program that's very dear to us at United Way, funded by our Women United. So I'm getting a lot of information, you know, from them at the same time. So it's a great time to be in the reading space and book space.
What kind of things do you go over that? And do you get to meet Dolly?
Right. It's virtual. They had talked about doing it in person. So I was kind of looking forward to that. You know, I was like, oh, maybe I could just make my way there. But you know, really, it was kind of neat because the opener this morning, and I can't even speak high enough about the virtual conference platform that they used, like flawless. Wow. I mean, I was quite impressed, right? Like, so there's, I mean, there's general sessions, there's breakout sessions, just like if you went to a conference and you just select, you know, which ones you're interested in and it'll say, oh, your next one is in 5 minutes and, you know, pretty cool. But anyway, the opening session this morning was actually a really cool message from the Library of Congress.
Oh, wow.
And so the 100,000th book was from Imagination Library was donated to the Library of Congress, and then so they did a little replay of that when that happened, and then the millionth book was also you know, so really cool. But you know, that's one of the things that when we are out at Great Book Giveaway and when we are doing diaper distribution, you know, Imagination Library is one of our priorities, is getting kids in our communities, because we did expand that into the Adams County part of our service area too. So our entire United Way service area, all children birth to age 5 are eligible for free books through Imagination Library. So, you know, I think that that's quite noteworthy. We have about 400 kids enrolled right now, which, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, only 400, you know, especially the women that are part of Women United, you know, they'd like to see every kid. But really, you know, when you think about that, that's like 22% of the eligible kids. That's it's actually a pretty good rate.
Yeah.
However, we would love to have more kids. So, you know, if you know of a child who resides in Southwood or Adams County and they are not receiving Imagination Library books, they can sign up. The child has to reside Southwood or Adams, not, you know, the grandparent or the aunt or uncle, you know, really because of our capacity to fund the program.
Yeah.
But we do encourage you to sign kids up. And so the way that you do that is visit our website, uwswac.org, and there is a enrollment form, or you certainly can visit any local library. They all have the enrollment forms. You know, we're working to just make sure that those are out there and available. Or just give us a call if you're not sure. You can reach us at 211. They can help direct you. But you know, reading is just...
Yeah,
it's so important. And you know, thank you for joining us, being a reader, a guest reader at the zoo. So, you know, we had a whole ton of awesome volunteers, and like I said, that wrapped up today. So super excited about planning next year already.
And a big shout out to all the volunteers, all the people that were helping out with that one. That was such a successful and fun event once again this year. And as you say, looking forward to next year. I want to thank all the volunteers, all the people donating books as well, and so much of that. And Terry, as far as the diaper drive goes, the fact that numbers are here or there, the fact that you look at that and you can't count them just off the top of your head, that's a great sign.
A ginormous pile of diapers. And we have monetary donations to spend yet.
Yeah.
So we've got more diapers coming. So we will actually not distribute diapers until probably like July 1st.
Yeah.
Because we just need to get everything, kind of get our bearings. They will be distributed in Adams County to the WIC program. And then here in Southwood County, they get distributed to Focus because they become part of the food pantry staples. So Focus, the Family Center, and First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center. We did already make a large donation over at Focus because we didn't have room. Mm-hmm. So we took some stuff over there mid drive, so that's really awesome. And then we did have the opportunity to write a grant for the diaper drive, which we did receive, but we are not going to distribute those diapers right now. We're going to distribute everything we collected, and then in September and November we're going to do another drop of diapers with those funds, because you know, then that way they have a steady stream of supply versus just a whole mountain at once.
Right.
So our goal is to, you know, make sure that these are available. So, you know, hats off to the community. Really great showing. Again, I also expanded this program into Adams this year. A little bit lighter there, but that's how it was, you know, for Southwood the first year that we did it too. So, you know, yeah, we have to grow into it, right? Yeah. But the things that we, the diapers that we were able to leverage still, you know, make their way back into each respective community. So we're super pumped about this.
And one thing that we are very pumped about, and we've got a lot of things going on in the area in the next couple of weeks, and this week alone, let alone the next couple of weeks, Rapids has some signature events, I think. The Cranberry Blossom Fest, the Water Ski Show tournament. These are signs of summer. I know for us, and I'll just speak for myself, certainly, the United We Can event is one of those signature events and those key events to me that, okay, we are in summer. It is go time. We are having fun. It is warm out. It's nice out.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
There might be some new technology entering the dairy realm that could impact sales of raw milk. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Now, let's remember, here in Wisconsin, we've got laws in place that make it illegal to sell raw milk. But in California, they're looking at ways around that. A company called Tamarack Biotics has gotten initial FDA acceptance of its light-based milk process. Bob Comstock is the company's CEO.
It's kind of difficult to pasteurize milk with ultraviolet light because it doesn't penetrate into the milk. So you have to do it in very thin films and with very high turbulence to renew the surface frequently. And that enables you to kill all the bad bugs in milk very effectively. In fact, we are more effective than heat at killing all the bad bugs.
Bob Comstock, the CEO of a company called Tamarack Biotics. It's a food technology company based in Fresno, California, working at this new science-backed non-thermal way to treat milk and still call it raw. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Wednesday. A little bit mixed as far as grain. Your numbers are next.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese in Chicago dropped another 2 cents to 177. 40-pound block cheese down 2.5 at 175.5. Double A butter on Tuesday down 1.5, 257.75 per pound. This morning, July corn is up 2. December new crop currently up 2. 441. July soybeans are unchanged. November new crop up a penny at 1068. The wheat for July currently a nickel stronger, 553 a bushel. The July class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently 3 cents stronger, 1799 a hundredweight. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs mid-80s.
Currently, it's 66.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night, I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us. More stories coming out after the fall of Roe versus Wade. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tomorrow on the program, Todd Albaugh, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley talking about your money in the markets, and Joe Zepecki all joining us on our mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Baseball tonight, Cubs, Brewers, 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. And over at Up North News, we are now a 7-day-a-week newsletter source, including our Monday through Friday with plenty of features and news about Wisconsin, Saturday with a focus on sports, Sunday mornings, my newsletter with a focus on politics. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe at the banner at the top of the homepage, and pick one, two, or all three of those newsletters to get the update from the entire Up North News team. All right, let's get to our homeroom segment for this week, and we're going to get a bit into the weeds on the state budget. Because again, when people go, oh, my eyes are going to glaze over, I'm going to fall asleep. No, don't. These are your state tax dollars, and you should have a better idea of where they're going. Frankly, I think that if more people knew where their tax dollars were going, where they think they're going versus where they actually are going, they might make some different choices for, you know, their legislators in November. So we're going to get into a particular aspect of it when it comes to education funding. And joining us to do that is Mark Elworthy. He's the Executive Director of Business Services for the Eau Claire Area School District. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you here because, you know, you have obviously been following this state budget debate very closely. We understand the stakes that are involved from a general standpoint, but we also know that if you just focused on the big buckets of money that go to schools, you're kind of losing sight of how some of the smaller buckets do have an impact on our property tax bills. And specifically, we're talking about special education funding. The Joint Finance Committee, which is made up of senators and state assembly reps and essentially writes their version of the state budget bill. The governor has his version and then they write their version. And the parts that they were working on recently dealing with education and special education were a little concerning, especially because of the gap between the way that special education gets state help in public schools versus the voucher program, which goes to private, usually religious schools. So, Mark, with all that as a setup, what are you seeing right now from the legislature's Joint Finance Committee that maybe concerns you about how special education funding is done by this legislature?
Right. So broadly speaking, in Wisconsin, the funding formula, and I know people think it's complex, if we boil it down to a couple things, it's revenue limits minus state aid equals property taxes. And general aids, which was one of the most noticeable differences between the Joint Finance Committee and the governor's proposed budget, is there's no money going into general aids. And so that impacts all aspects of education. Why? Because instead of the state contributing to funding of education in the next 2 years. It would solely, any increases would be solely funded as currently written by local property taxes. Revenue limits came into place in 1993 when local property taxes were ironically going up too quick. In this current proposed budget by Joint Finance Committee, it returns the funding solely to the increases solely to local property taxes. Then you've got special education aid, and it's been a hot topic. Some proposals about increasing high cost special education in comparison to categorical aid special education or special education categorical aid. What's really important to know is special education categorical aid is received by every district in the state. High cost, and it, you know, it's for students that require, and we are mandated to educate all students that attend public schools, a certain amount above 30% minus some aids. That only impacts about 50% of the districts. I've heard as few as 1,000 students. So the proposal coming out was to improve the high cost special education aid, but the what should be noted is that only impacts a very basically half the district, and a very small part is about 1/100th of the actual categorical aids. So in the budget process, you know, it's about give and take most years, and it's, I think, really important. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here to educate that, you know, special education categorical aid, state categorical aid go to all districts, and that really moves the needle. Right now in Wisconsin, we're about 28th in the nation. 20 years ago, we used to be funding our schools at we were ranked 8th. So that's a significant difference. And so why are we in this place? It's because funding has either been frozen or just addressed in very small amounts over the last, you know, 20 years.
And this is a rhetorical trick that I've seen a lot and really wanted to call out, because, again, you've got that big bucket of money of, you know, of categorical aids. You've got the slightly smaller bucket of special education categorical aids. And then you've got the even smaller bucket of high cost special education aid that you were just describing. And the tactic is that you get, in this case, a certain group of legislators saying, hey, look at how much we've put into this small bucket over here. But as you just pointed out, that bucket is so specialized that only about 50% of school districts even need to tap into that bucket, when what would really help would be, you know, either in the larger bucket of special education categorical aid or just general state aid overall. But for one reason or another, you've got people saying, well, we're at least putting a lot into this much smaller bucket, so, you know, that ain't nothing, but it's not nearly what it could be, Mark.
Yeah, it's not surprising. That has been the decision-making voting pattern of the recent past, right? And, you know, again, why are we here? It's because we've underfunded, you know, whether it's schools in general or specifically special education categorical aid. If we fully funded special education categorical aid, there would be no need for high-cost special education aid.
That's a magnificent point, that if you just fixed, you know, the small bucket of special education, you wouldn't even need the even smaller budget of high cost special education. If again, you would just do your job. But there's also that funding gap of special education overall between public schools and the voucher program for private, usually religious schools. And that's the one that I think the members of Joint Finance heard about from the public more than anything else. And it's the one that blew me away when I first learned about it a couple of years ago, that voucher schools are being reimbursed by the state for special education costs at about 90%. And public education, which used to be way up there, what, 67 to 70% or something? It was apparently, to hear Republican legislators 2 years ago tell it, a big deal that they increased the reimbursement rate in public schools to now, is it 32%, something like that?
It's targeted for 33.3%. Oh, okay. DPI just came out with their annual calculations. It's just under 31%. because the costs to educate do not keep up. The funding's always been some certain, so it's a fixed amount, you know, it's a budget, right? And costs increase over the biennial budget. And so it's traditionally lower than the targeted amount. But yeah, you know, and I think you're right. The concept of addressing high cost special education, how should I put it, got attached to the vouchers in special ed. I think it probably, how should I suggest that the benefits of making this adjustment aren't significant enough. You know, again, the special education categorical aid would make the difference. But again, it became a dialogue. People reached out. And so, you know, it was written in and approved by the joint finance.
We are talking to Mark Elworthy, who is the Executive Director of Business Services for the Eau Claire Area School District, and specifically about special education funding and some of the disparities that are involved in it. For folks who would say, Mark, well, you know, why are we even talking about state reimbursement of special education funding? The whole reason it was set up in the first place deals with the fact that special education costs, you know, it costs a lot more to provide education to children with those special needs. And so initially the state wanted to help out with that higher cost. As that percentage has come down over time, correct me if I'm wrong, but those higher costs to take care of kids needing special education, that just then goes into the general budget, and that costs all property taxpayers rather than having the state reimburse a share of it.
Yeah, exactly. So in Eau Claire, we are projected to have to use our general fund dollars. $23.2 million is going to be used, or projected to be used. We're just wrapping up our budget right now to pay for special ed, which is mandated. Correct. And that's, you know, a direct result of underfunding of special education categorical aid.
Yeah. Our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle puts up on Facebook, private schools are guaranteed the amount given in the budget. Public schools are not, a point that you were making earlier as well. So here's the thing. And I know I've been banging this drum a lot. I'm going to bang it again anyway. 15 years ago, we were dealing with the start of the Great Recession and a budget shortfall of $3 to $6 billion, a shortfall of $3 to $6 billion. And we currently have a budget surplus of $4 billion. Nobody's saying give the whole $4 billion to me, even though a lot of people would like that. But for a part of that $4 billion, Mark, what could we do to make things better for the taxpayers of Eau Claire and other school districts if we somehow use some of that surplus as a way to reimburse special education costs?
Well, because the funding hasn't occurred, Eau Claire, like many school districts, have had to go back to the public for referendums, right? So increased funding will decrease the likelihood of a district needing to go to a referendum. Now that's, you know, assuming that the investment is significant. Otherwise, we're just going to be playing on the edges. Will live year to year or every 2 years or based on a referendum. Ours is 4 years long. We'll be right back there. But it's also sustainable. The other thing in Eau Claire is we've been frozen. We're a low revenue ceiling limit school district. And that was a conversation that was happening at the Capitol during budget negotiations. In the current budget, it was the first time in a significant increase of $800 on the revenue limit that benefited Eau Claire. And why is that significant? Because when revenue limits started in 1993, Eau Claire was in its own economic recession. One of the largest employers was about to shutter. And so the school board purposely levied at a lower rate because that's what the community could afford. We've been frozen in time. We've had an adjustment. But that, you know, that's another type of state aid that would allow us flexibility and just allow us, it funds education in a more significant and longitudinal manner.
And I want to end on that note that Eau Claire had kept that level low in the early 90s because the Uniroyal tire plant was closing up. And so it was to protect property taxpayers. But Eau Claire has been penalized ever since, being frozen in for a school funding system that is grossly outdated and in need of repair. With ideas coming our way this morning from Mark Elworthy of the Eau Claire School District. Mark, thank you so much. I appreciate your expertise. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day, too.
When we come back together in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram and Melissa Baldoff. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
You're going to have some people in there that are going to be needing these services, and some people in your community, some people in your neighborhood, some people that your kids go to school with. And to your point, it isn't as if anybody's walking around with a sign that says this. Many people, more times than not, are in need of these things, and they're not going to say anything, or they may not even, talk about it with others and everything. So when you're helping with something like this, you're not just helping a stranger, you're helping community, you're helping family, you're being a part of stuff. And you can do this just by taking in some baseball and dropping off a non-perishable food item, or even beyond that, keeping this going beyond today. And keeping this in your heart and your mind beyond today of how important this is next when, we've got the school season kicking off before we know it, and we'll have other needs there. that is a segue, Terry, because I did want to get into Stuff the Bus and talking a little bit about making sure that kids are registered for this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, yes, shift gears now from books and diapers into school supplies. So this is a multifaceted, kind of event. So there's two different areas. One, this is the time to register students for school supplies. So if you or, your grandchild or whatever qualifies for free and reduced lunch, then that child also qualifies for free school supplies. They have to be registered. And the only way to register is to visit our website, uwswac.org. This has been sent home from the local school districts a few times, but it is available there. We do need information on the student. We need to know what grade they're going into. We need it so we know what supplies to provide. So you do have to fill that out. Oh, very occasionally we'll get somebody, well, I don't want to fill out the form. Well, that's the hoop. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's the big guy.
So we do need the information. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a computer at home or easy access to a computer, it is mobile friendly. But if you don't have access, you can call 211 between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday when we have the phones local. Unfortunately, we can't serve the sign up form, maybe at 8 o'clock at night, because mm-hmm. our 211 after hours calls are not handled locally. Mm-hmm. So if you need assistance, call between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday, 211, and they can walk you through the desk form. So all students who need supplies need to be registered. At the time of registration, you will select your pickup time. So pickup is done as a drive-through style. It happens the third weekend of August. So mm-hmm. Friday evening, Saturday morning are your options. I believe we have half an hour increments on there, and they are first come, first serve. So if there's a 30-minute window that doesn't show, it's because it's full. And the reason that we do that is so that we don't have a line that is, 4 yeah. miles long. We just want to keep the traffic flow moving. And so if your time slot is already filled, just pick the next best one that works for you. You will get a reminder card in the mail, and it is color-coded by the half hour. So then we know who should be, it should be just all green cards all purple cards. So you will want to watch for that via U.S. mail. But the important thing really is get your kids registered if they qualify. Registration open May 1st, closes August 1st. So now how do we serve all these kids, right? So we do a school supply drive that we call Stuff the Bus. And the idea is that now there are local businesses, organizations that are willing to be drop-off points. And then we collect, everything culminates at Lunch by the River. We are the host, the sponsor of Lunch by the River on August 7th. And this is where you bring all of your school supplies. So if you are a business, organization, you're an individual, all the supplies come to Lunch by the River. And at that point, they get sorted and inventoried. So, all the yellow folders go in one basket, all the red notebooks in another basket. Everything gets inventoried, and then we do a quick order for the things that we're missing. And then the next week, we actually do a pre-pack. So we utilize some local volunteers, and this is why we needed that information on your students, because we know that we have to pack 67 third grade backpacks. Well, here's the third grade supply list. Fill the backpack, put it in the third grade pile. Because then when they come through the drive-through and they say, we have a third grader, a sixth grader, and a, maybe a sophomore in high school, we can pull those packs and have them ready by the time they get around to the front of the building. So we do on our website have a list of most needed items that we need for donation. We also, if you are a local business who is listening and would love to get, maybe you want get people through your doors, you could be a collection site, excuse me, and they will, we will provide you with a little media kit. So you'll have social media posts, you'll have signs, you'll have, pretty much everything that you need. So that's another way to be involved, from the business standpoint, is to be a collection site and show, how you commit to the community, by donating and collecting.
Terry, are we going to look for some volunteers to help with this when it comes to the Lunch by the River event?
So we could use, some volunteers at Lunch by the River on August 7th. That would be sorting school supplies. supplies and counting. Then we moved the supplies from Lunch by the River over to East Junior High. And so we could use some hands over there to help us, you know, laying everything out for the prepack. We will be doing prepack that following week on August 15th. So there could be some help there, and then distribution. So if someone is interested in volunteering for Stuff the Bus specifically, you should get a hold of us at the United Way at 715-421-0390.
And make sure to do that right away, everybody, because then the more that the information they have on that and they know ahead of time, then they may not have to worry about having as many people.
Yes. And it is helpful to know, you know, how many we're going to have and how we work our way through that.
Yeah. And Terry, I think we covered everything. I think we nailed it. I think we got it. Encourage you, though, to go to uwswac.org to find out more information. Certainly when it comes to registration or volunteering or any of those things, 2-on-1 is also an option for you. Keep that in mind as well. And go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go subscribe to their pages, share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Terry, thank you so much for the time.
You bet.
We will have more for you coming up. Be listening for that. And thank you to everybody for listening to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei is warning of an all-out regional war if the U.S. intervenes in his nation's six-day conflict with Israel. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says President Trump's met with top advisors.
The president's main focus in that meeting, whether the U.S. should join Israel in striking Iranian nuclear sites, according to multiple sources. Doing so would appear to go against Trump's longstanding vow not to engage the U.S. in new foreign wars.
Record heat in the forecast for the Northeast. CBS's Rob Marciano.
I-95 on Sunday into the 80s. And into next week, we're looking at temperatures that will get into the 90s and maybe 100 degrees for a good chunk of the East Coast.
New report says countries are making progress on sustainable energy. The World Economic Forum's Espen Melum.
Most of the energy investments and the clean energy investments globally are going to advanced economies and to China. Only about 15% are going to emerging and developing countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa.